Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the first episode of season 4. Whoop whoop. Let's get it. My gosh, first episode of season 4. My God, it feels like an eternity that I have waited for this. Here we are. Grief Gang, this coming Saturday marks World Suicide Prevention Day, the 10th of September. And bizarrely enough, I am partaking in a 34K challenge for the charity Suicide & Co. Running, swimming or cycling 34 kilometres, I'm cycling, apparently that's the easiest way to do it, to raise vital funds for this wonderful charity that do so, so much for the families affected by a death by suicide. The two founders, Emma and Amelia, are previous guests on the show, and you can find their episode back in season 2. To hear their stories and all about the incredible work that they do, P.S., you will hear a little snippet from them at the end of this episode. So do stick around until then to learn more on what services they offer that could help you or somebody that you love. Suicide & Co. are actually how I met today's guest, Harry Corrin. Harry and I met back earlier this year at the launch of Suicide & Co.'s sweatshirt campaign, You Are Enough. You might have seen me stunting on the old Instagram with that, me and my sweatshirt. Absolutely loved it. We got to model their wonderful campaign and bring their mission and message to life. It was a true honour, true honour. Harry lost his dad, Will, to suicide at the age of 12. And in today's episode, you'll hear Harry take us back to that day and what those immediate days after his dad's death were like. How Harry and his family were treated in their town, how their local media treated his dad's death and how it was depicted. Most importantly, how detrimental that was to them all and their grieving process. Language around bereavement by suicide is so important. That's what today's episode is all about. We can all learn and do better, whether we've been immediately affected by suicide or not. Harry and I discuss today certain phrases or terminology that is used both culturally and professionally that needs to be reassessed. We answer and discuss some of the sharings that you, the Grief Gang audience, so kindly shared, the things that grind your gears and things that comfort you. Harry gives such an open and honest account about how and why this conversation and learning needs to be had. So much so that I have verbally and agreed and signed myself up for one of his courses. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I need to sign my life on the dotted line. I really, really enjoyed this interview with Harry and walked away learning so much more than I already did. And I hope and I feel like you will too. It's important to note here, as Harry and I do later on in the episode, that even if there are things that we've said in this episode that we think or feel aren't appropriate to say, and you know yourself that you may have said them, it's okay. Like, it's okay. You're not a bad person. I know full well in this interview that there were times, and I think even Harry admits later in this episode that there were things that he feels now which are inappropriate that he himself has said. and that we have all said things that maybe weren't right in the moment. But as you said, it's okay. You're not a bad person, and that we can all learn from each other and these conversations. So, Grief Gang, I introduce to you Harry Corrin. Well, Harry, thank you so much for joining me here today on the Grief Gang podcast. I've met you in real life and you're here in my screen. I want to go back before we get into your story is on the day when me and you were doing up models with Suicide & Co.
What a lovely way to meet. Yeah, I know. You don't get that every day, do you?
Basically, back in February, well, Harry, you are a wonderful ambassador for the charity Suicide & Co. And I'm sure they are absolutely going to be coming up in conversation in this episode today. But we went and modelled their most recent then campaign. And we got to model some wonderful jumpers and we got all dolled up and have our photos taken. And it was a wonderful campaign, wasn't it?
It was amazing. It's one of those very rare campaigns, I think, where, it just captures your attention. You think, you know, you start learning more about it and that's when you're hooked. Doing it through real people and stories and amazing charity with people who just get it is, kind of a nice balance, I think.
But, absolutely. Yeah, in mind. Yeah, they're wicked. They're wicked. So, Harry, if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story and who it is that we're here to remember and talk about today.
Yeah, definitely. And just a massive thank you for having me on. Lovely way to end the week. But I lost my father to suicide. This is the kind of the long and short of it. I lost my father 15 years ago to suicide. So I grew up in very, very picturesque, happy town called St. Ives in Cornwall, where everyone goes and that's just designed that place to be happy. So when I say that, everyone has the reaction like, oh, so amazing, so jealous that you're from there. And actually, what I find quite difficult is actually my childhood memories of Cornwall and St. Ives are the complete opposite as to what most people experience that town as, because it was on actually a holiday park where my mum and dad used to manage. That was their job, where unfortunately my dad took his own life. And so I got really weird and mixed emotions around not only the place, but actually the bereavement in itself. Like I was saying, I'm actually, heading down to Cornwall as soon as we finished recording. So, lots of different thoughts. But, my journey within that is certainly wavy. I think I started when I was a little boy, 12 years old, when I first found out that happened, just choosing to not think about it, choosing to try and bury it away as much as I could. Yeah. And I remember just like waking up, like normal school day, I would get out of bed, probably late, like most teenage or like almost teenage boys would. But I could hear like there was commotion like downstairs, like everyone was like talking. I was like, okay, this is odd. This just doesn't happen. And what is it? Got up and then, could see outside that there were police cars and things were cordoned off. And you're like, okay, this is not good. I can just about remember that. Ran downstairs and that's when I found out. And I think the bit that I always like lean back to and always remember on that day is that my first thing that I said is that I wanted to go to school. Like I wanted to go to school as soon as I found out to get me away from it. Yeah. And it was like a kind of powerful moment. I think as I look back on myself as a little boy thinking I just wanted to run as soon as I found out anyway. And I just kept on running.
Your fight or flight.
Exactly. Just became that. And as you can imagine, my mum didn't let me do that, but she just let me go outside, play football and be myself. And I did that for the whole day. It was a coping mechanism that whilst not helpful, was helpful at that time, was to run because I couldn't talk at that time.
So Harry, if you wouldn't mind, would you mind telling us a bit about your dad?
Absolutely. Yeah. So he,
what's his name?
Like me. that's one thing.
What was his name first, Harry?
My dad is called Will or William. William Henry Corrin, a classic name. So Corrin is a Cornish name. So you don't really hear it outside of Cornwall. I think there's some kind of the same name, which I always find fascinating. But it's a Cornish name. He was really, really very talented, like artistic sports person. So he left school and went and joined the Navy. So at like 17 years old, he was in the Falklands War. Like, it's just unbelievable. Trained to become an electrician whilst he was doing that, and came back and I guess always had like more labor-like jobs, as he was an electrician by trade, but he was also a fireman. He used to make like stained glass. So very like artistic as well, but also like very hands-on and practical. This is something I like to tell people is, so in our hometown in St. Ives, the main doctor's surgery that everyone uses has these huge stained glass panels that people go into and they sit in the waiting room. They're huge.
Yeah.
And my dad created those stained glass panels. Like, not many people know that, but they are like four very like lovely images of St. Ives. Beautiful. And I sometimes show that to people, and it was something that definitely after COVID just reminded me of how powerful like his actions were, like in his creativity.
So his craft,
people were sitting in that waiting room probably wondering like what was going to happen with their lives and their families, and that was that's the only bit of light you can see. So it's quite a powerful kind of story, I guess, that he's still kind of there in that
sense. And even for you to, you know, go past it or whenever you're visiting, to kind of see and to almost watch the everyday people walk past it or enter the surge and just think, you have no idea, and kind of it's almost like a little secret, and it's really powerful. Well, Harry, today one of the main things I wanted to talk with you about today, and one thing that I found in both me being immersed in the Grief Gang podcast and being involved in the community, and as we were talking before we recorded, of just getting to understand other people's losses and type of losses and how important it is, even if it is so far removed from us and we have not experienced it, the importance that we can all do better by one another in bereavement. And so with this episode, it'll be coming out during Suicide Awareness Week, and I really wanted to highlight and speak about the importance of language around bereavement by suicide. I don't know, do you look back, Harry, potentially like a rhetorical even thinking question out loud of looking back and thinking, well, maybe they didn't know what to say because we've not been taught the language about it, as on such a delicate conversation and a loss. But then that's still not good enough, though, just because it's so delicate, it's still not good enough. And also just, you know, I think over the last couple of years with mental health and mental well-being, I think definitely since the pandemic and still during the pandemic, of people's mental health and their well-being around the correct language to be using, one, around suicide, and two, around bereavement and suicide by the people who are here and who are suffering. And sometimes the language that can be really quite triggering and actually really upsetting for them. So first question really, Harry, is why is language around bereavement by suicide so important?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of there's two parts. There's the actual like moments before that people find hard to talk about suicide, and then also in suicide bereavement as well that people find it hard. And I kind of think the learning is the same, is that because it is so delicate, people sometimes avoid it. And it takes a huge amount of courage to do that. And it also takes a huge amount of education and probably maybe like curiosity on the person's part to actually want to really gain a connection with that person. And that's kind of both those moments leading up to suicide for the person who unfortunately does take their own life, but also someone who actually is bereaved by suicide. And because, yes, it's so delicate, it's not like an excuse as such.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if I reflect back on why and how, is that I didn't put dad and suicide or family and suicide in the same sentence until I was about 22, unless they were extremely close people to me. And there became a point when I was going through those life stages of education, you know, university, employment, dating, new football clubs, these things that I was doing. And I would tell everyone that he was alive because it was unbelievably easy to do that.
God,
it was so easy to just navigate that conversation. There were people who knew me for like months, some people years, who actually thought he was alive and he was doing those.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I then found it hard to say the word suicide because for me, I felt so much stigma around the connection between Harry and suicide and suicide and Harry as if it was like the same thing. And I think when the very, very few times that suicide was spoken about connected to my dad's passing was there were some newspaper articles, there was like some like commentary around it, and suicide was talked about in an extremely belittling and blasé way in the media. And those articles are still like available. And it's like, and I look back at them, like 12 years old, I was named in those articles. There was the way in which suicide was talked about. And that, and I read those articles as 12 years old. And I also knew that everyone around me had read those articles, every parent, every football manager, every friend, every employer. And I was like, well, actually, like I'm completely connected by this word. At the same time, feeling like I was by myself in that, like I was the only young guy who'd been bereaved by suicide. And that kind of ability to see that it wasn't just me only happened years after, like 11, 12 years after you start to see that, because you don't really talk about it. People don't talk about suicide. And I needed education. I needed to see other people who had also seen been in the same place as me, not the same place, but had been there. You then start to think, you know what, actually, suicide is an unbelievably big part of me. One of the biggest parts of me. It's always going to be. It doesn't have to come with that heavy, heavy weight.
I recently read a book by the wonderful Jack Rook called Cheer the Fuck Up. I don't know if you've read it, if you heard of it. I think you'd it's brilliant. It's a brilliant book. Yeah, Cheer the Fuck Up. It's fantastic. And in this book, Jack's predominantly speaking about the death of his father. And then subsequently other losses, like he lost his dad and then his grandmother and then his best friend, Ollie. And it was actually before Ollie took his own life that Jack decided to get involved with, I believe it was Calm. He started getting work with Calm. And there was a segment of the book where he spoke about, it was like a guide that Calm, or potentially, and I think the Samaritans have done something like it too, of basically for media, of basically saying, pull your fucking finger out and stop saying shit like this. And so in things like, so yeah, I wanted to highlight of kind of, and kind of get your thoughts on it, as you touched on there, how you saying, you know, even if you did want to kind of, you were so desperate to detach yourself from this, but you couldn't because your name has been blasted in the newspaper.
So talking about how people report things like this, and yeah, going back to when that happened to me and my family, he was described as a handyman. He was a fireman for many years, and he was a qualified electrician. He ran his own business and had people who worked alongside him, a handyman. Talked about the way in which it happened, had commentary as to why, named his family in that, talked about some of the hearsay and maybe some of the reasons that might have contributed, but none of this was contributed by me. I was one of the ones who was then damaged as a result of that. And this is what happens after when someone passes away, be that someone in a local town or a celebrity, sports star, whoever it might be, is that people want to work out why. And that can be quite damaging. It can create a really damaging ripple effect. And to be quite honest with you, if I'm really, really truthful, the ripple effect and the damage that was caused after my dad passed away was harder than losing my dad and not being here for the rest of my life. It was the hearsay and the actions
whispering
that happened after was way harder. And that's honest truth. You know, a number of times when people say they want to create a culture where you can talk about suicide and mental health, yet won't focus on language first, yet they'll have people who don't know the importance of language and mental health and suicide. It's like, well, you have to start there. You have no choice because everything else can just be wasted. And that goes down through the media all the way through to friendship groups, right? So the media, I think, you know, in terms of the need for delicate reporting, I think it's true. And you know, things like a family history of suicide are huge contributing factors to someone else's mm-hmm. risk factors. So yeah, you want to make sure that those around the person are also protected. Yeah. And like you say, they're more than just that.
That there's such an importance and a responsibility from us all as a society to do better by this, whether it's impacted you directly or through somebody that you know who has been impacted by it. We all have a duty, a due diligence as community to do better. So what sort of things can, you know, what and how can people better educate themselves to learn correct language around bereavement by suicide?
It's difficult, right? Like it takes a, you need to prioritize it, I think, to want to learn about it. I mean, you know, sadly, it sometimes does take like an unfortunate loss to then think, you know what, I need to learn more about it. And, you know, it needs a proactive approach. And why, I guess, you know, Suicide & Co, what they do, not only in the way they're trying to change the culture around suicide, but also in the moments after. And, you know, I think it's with many types of trauma or difficulty is that, you know, we need to talk about it. So start, you know, it might not come out fluently. You might get things wrong, but it's the effort and the courage to start and want to learn. So there's that. But then also, you know, get involved with the amazing charities that exist. Mm. And if you do ever see someone who might perhaps have thoughts of suicide or some gut feeling that you have in your mind, that's not right, that's different to how you know them. Mm. Because sometimes people, when they go through difficulty and trauma and various life changes, may have thoughts of suicide.
Yeah.
And you asking that question directly is not going to give someone thoughts to take their own life. Yeah. It's one of the biggest myths that hold people back.
Gosh, yeah.
If you ask that question, someone might say, no, don't be so silly, but I'm having a very awful day and numerous things have gone wrong and I've said this comment, but no, I didn't mean suicide.
Yeah.
Then what you've done is you've opened up a conversation on really important things.
Yeah. And it's almost you'd rather go to the extremity of go like, hold on, did you mean that? And did you mean this by that? And then go, no, don't be daft or something like that potentially. But would you not rather have at least explored and opened that? You know, if you did mean that, you are okay to explore that. And gosh, hearing you talking then, Harry, and it's really speaking to me in terms of, as much as I say, and I have not experienced a loss by suicide, but struggled with my own through my loss. And that somebody actually wrote into one of the question boxes that we'll go through in a second of, they said something like, I've not been bereaved by suicide, but I did lost my mother and have felt feelings of. And my gosh, that spoke so much to me. And it's it was a tricky one of hearing you speaking then, just about how the effect and how I so wish someone said to me, you saying just pack it all in one day, that don't sound right, Amber. I put a questionnaire out to the Grief Gang community just asking ahead of this recording just to share some of what their thoughts and feedback and opinions are on around language around bereavement by suicide. What do they prefer? What really grinds their gears? And what do you think could be done better potentially? So I will read through a few. Some, there were quite a few that were very much the same. This was quite evident as to why this thing came up and really a real dislike to it. So so the first one is, so quotation, death by suicide or quotation, ended their life feels appropriate. Quotation, committed suicide is still linked to when it was a criminal offence. I also hate the notion that people are selfish for suicide and also that a singular person was the pure reason for it. There tend to be a multitude of reasons.
So powerful. And I completely connect with those points. So I'll try and kind of go step by step through, you know, end their own life, die by suicide, lost someone to suicide. You know, it feels warmer, like as warm as you can make a subject like this. It feels like, to the point enough, you're saying the word suicide, but also maybe end their own life is clear.
Yeah.
You're not passing any judgment with that versus, you know, someone who, commits suicide. And yeah, it is connected to the fact that suicide was a crime up until 1961 in the UK. And yeah, it's beyond me. Like when you think about the reality of what that sentence means, not only did that person feel that much pain in their life and that much loneliness and that much difficulty that they then took their own life or they died by suicide, and then they're not here and we say that they've committed a crime and they also can't speak for that because they're not here.
Yeah.
It's like so belittling,
yeah.
damaging, like blasé, whatever you want to call it. Like it's just awful.
Traumatizing, yeah.
Yeah, traumatized, stigmatizing. There's so many things to go with it. And, you know, that is the one. And sometimes, you know what, I hear it quite a lot. I hear it every week, actually. That's not exaggerated.
Do you know, it's honestly, I'm beginning to hear, I heard it in a group that we were doing earlier this week. And the way it sent a shiver down my spine.
So it comes down to education again. It comes down to people accessing and learning about the topic
yeah.
to then talk about it in the right way.
Let's go through a few more because some of them are really varying. So another person says, yeah, I hate it when people say anything the lines of it was their choice or successful suicide, brackets like you never have a choice. I do really appreciate it though when people let me talk about who they were as a person outside of their mental illness. I thought that was really yeah. important. Yeah.
I love that one. Yeah. yeah. People, yeah. Allowing a person, like you asked me that question, right? You did, yeah. you started off in that chord and it's such a nice way of doing it. And I think the more that we can do that, because these real people, right? Yes, they died in that particular way, but you know, these are real people, real human beings with stories and skills and yeah. things that they were amazing at and things that you remember them by. So you want that to live through like we did yeah. in this first part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's, you want, I like that. I like that when people want to know more. Sometimes it still kind of, you know, it shocks me when people do ask if I like it. Like it's a good
yeah.
shock when people ask me about that. And you know, people are very quick, aren't they, to ask you about people who are alive, right?
But yeah, exactly.
It's some people
yeah.
want to know more.
It is like,
they want to. Yeah.
So long can go by, can't it, without them actually asking. And especially mm. if you're kind of like working in this space as well, where kind of people know that the work that you do is because of you lost a loved one to whatever nature that is. So kind mm. of it's sometimes always, yeah, skip the bullshit and just go straight to the death. And you're like, oh, I wish you'd kind of start a bit earlier actually and ask me about yeah. what they were like as a parent, just a human being, as a partner, as anything, yeah. anything. So even like last night, we at the time of this recording, it would have been a couple of weeks ago and this comes out, we did a workshop last night. It was just called Getting to Know Your Person, and we just did a whole 2 hours of journaling and writing and just sharing memories and like characteristics and hopes and dreams that we had for our people and our relationships. And it was the most moving 2 hours of my life. Just, and we all sat there, we were like, my gosh, like we thought we were good at speaking about our people as they yeah. were. We were like, but my God, and I looked in my journal and I've just like uncovered memories that were just so parked back, just hearing other people. And so it's really important for us to, however the person has died, to, for other people who are listening, who are supporting somebody, to keep asking about the person. There's so yeah. much more than just their illness or their death. Yeah, so this one I thought was interesting. I thought, well, how do we navigate it? So this one says, I would sooner people just speak naturally. Taking time to consider how you word something can make it lose meaning. I don't find committed suicide hurtful because that's what he did. I know not everyone feels that way, however. Our suicide bereavement group, they ask us not to use the word, not realizing how triggering it is to just hear the word suicide when you're not expecting it in a sentence. The way I liked it referred to is my dad took his own life. Yeah, and then they did say, or died by suicide. So I guess in some context there, they are okay with the word suicide. But even, yeah, kind of, yeah, not realizing how triggering it is to just hear the word suicide when you're not expecting it in a sentence. And then that made me think, oh gosh, I've just put up a story asking people to share. And I thought, oh shit, like, I don't know if it's even my place to kind of say, like, with trigger warning. I have a weird thing with trigger warnings. And I don't know what that is, because whether to unpack this now and to delicately, it's just, I think when, I mean, rightly so, I think there are some things that are rightfully needing trigger warnings, but like around, like with certain losses, there's sometimes trigger warnings that are specifically for them and some there's not. Do you kind of see where I'm going of kind of why does one need to have it? Almost like, it's, I feel like something maybe a bit othering.
Yeah, I think it's a really hard comment to comment on. And I think, but what it, I think it tells me, if I was to summarize it all, is that, you know, everyone's going to react differently to, yeah. to suicide. I think everyone's going to react differently to hearing the word suicide. And then even on comments like, you know, committed suicide, I don't know how the person framed it, that their father ended their own life, I believe, was the one that I think I would also be extremely comfortable with that. But I think on trigger warnings, you know, again, like, you know, my stance of talking about it is that we can help prevent it. So I need to talk about it. I need to say the word suicide. But I tried to make a comment and then signpost to the particular resources if you were triggered. But what I think what I've learned around trigger warnings is that whilst I'm very comfortable hearing about it, like the topic of suicide, yeah. or very comfortable around saying it myself, what I'm not comfortable with is when I see suicide in a film or yeah. a documentary
yeah.
or something like that, and it completely takes me by surprise. And you've got like a powerful film that you're watching and you're enjoying the film, and then suddenly, you know, yeah. someone might be there, you know, who walk into a room and they've died in the same way as your family member does. Yeah. It's like, well, that needs wow. to be told to me. Yeah. I cannot get past that. It's something I'm quite passionate about, because I used yeah. to have this like horrific pain that would come in my neck like all the time. I had to access therapy to learn more about it. Like, I couldn't have particular shaped objects like around me. I couldn't, yeah. like, if I was dating someone, then be wearing a necklace. I couldn't have people touch my neck, yeah. myself. And suddenly you're watching a film and someone's like gashed their entire neck, or they've got,
yeah.
you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you think, was like, not expecting that.
I need a trigger warning on that. And yeah. I can't. So that's why I can't empathize with someone when they hear the word suicide, has maybe
and it some connection yeah.
when I see it.
I think my angle is more of it's because it's to help society. Of like, if I put this,
yeah.
then they know, and it's a bit comfortable for them, and a bit more like, no, fuck them. Like, this is real, and to not censor. I think I'm speaking more on like grief expression, how you want to express it. But but then that really opens up and makes me think more about why. For some, it is really important to have those trigger warnings, especially in movies, in television, and. I know there's been many programs that have come out and there's been, you know, upheaval after because I've watched and I've gone, yeah, fucking hell, guys. Like,
and they might put it at the end, right? Have you been
I mean, well,
it's
yeah.
It's too late for that, right? Like, you've just literally shown it into my face. I was like yeah. trying to use my hour off.
Yeah, yeah. We're sitting here with my partner trying to watch a nice movie yeah. and have a cuddle.
So your whole mind is gone for the whole evening.
You're not even watching the whole plot rest of the yeah. movie. Like, I've just completely fucking forgot that. Yeah, yeah. yeah. So I liked this one. This one kind of really kind of spoke to me and kind of what I was kind of, I guess, kind of getting with the whole trigger warning thing and kind of the, no, this is what's happened and this is, we should say it as it is. So this person says, I like to use the expression, quote, Christian took his life when referring to my son's suicide. I also readily use the word suicide in an attempt to destigmatize it. Playing my little role in moving things forward, I feel no shame in talking about the nature of his death.
I completely, wholeheartedly, 1000% agree with yeah. every wording of that sentence. And again, yeah. not for everyone, is it? But for me, by saying the word suicide, I think it's helpful. I do think it is for the whole. But you have to be able to try your very best to put yourself in the shoes of other people. And, you know, I know that my mum finds it very difficult to hear yeah. the word suicide.
Yeah.
Yet I shout about it from the rooftop. So that even if it had been one suicide, two places people connected have very different views. So. But yeah, you know, that small role you can play to make a difference and make a difference in your world. And, you know, I think that's it. That can have the ripple effect.
Yeah.
We can stand up and talk about this in our sports clubs, in our schools. Well, you know, be careful on that one, actually, you know, in our education systems, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, we want it that way. We can normalize it. So.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on before I'll wrap up with one last, what are your thoughts on kind of suicide education in an education setting? How do you think we can go about that, Harry?
So I think it depends at like what level, but I think what yeah. needs to happen, if I was to like simplify my views down, is that we need education on understanding for children as to how they think.
Yeah.
You know, how they think, not what they think.
Mm-hmm.
How have I come to that view that actually lots of things are happening and this is why I feel like that? You know, yeah. have we got professionals or an education system that can build an understanding for young people as to how they think? Because if we can do that, then actually, if someone does have thoughts of suicide or potential, whatever it might be, then maybe they might have a greater awareness of how they've got to that point.
One of the last things I will share with you, one of these, is someone just said, I hated when people said, well, that's what she wanted, so she's at peace with herself now.
You know, the vast majority of people who die by suicide don't actually want to die. They want to rid themselves of the pain, like get rid of the pain, escape the pain. There's quite a difference. There's quite a difference wanting to die and not want to live with that pain or that feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, I that annoys me, that I think.
Yeah.
you know, they didn't want to be here, you know, that was their choice. It does kind of touch the nerve a bit.
Yeah.
It's about like, you know, understanding why that person might have that reason, and every single reason is okay, but it's about understanding it, unpacking it, like you said.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would touch the nerve.
And people don't understand how much then that might feed into your already own thoughts and potentially own feelings of, you know, one thing I hear when I speak with people, potentially feelings of abandonment and potentially feelings of whatever it is, and how much little remarks like that feed into it. And again, just going back to what the title of this episode is going to be, you know, why is language so important? Because you don't know if those little words that roll off your tongue, kind of the damage it can do. But as we were saying earlier, you know, just simply saying, you know, if you do say the word like committed, you're not an awful person, and you can do better. That's I think the one thing we can take away from this, isn't it, Harry? You know, we can hopefully, people listen to this, is that knowing, you know, if you're listening thinking, oh god, I've said a few of those things, or don't you're not an asshole, but you can do better, and there are multiple people and charities and organizations that are here that you can dip in and out of. Reading, it is all there at your hands, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's okay to say the wrong thing. Yeah. It's about, okay, well, I've said the wrong thing. I didn't mean to say that, but I wanted to try and form connection with you.
Accountability.
I think it goes back to one of the comments you had on your list, is that actually, you know, we don't want to stop people talking for saying the wrong thing. Like, that's the last thing we want. But it's just about a bit of, you know, conscious effort to think, okay, well, if I'm going to say that, what might be the impact of saying it that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want people to have more pauses. Like, we live in such a rushed world.
Gotcha. Like,
let's think and plan about how we talk. We can do that.
To sit in the silence of going, I don't know what to say, maybe even, and to sit with those silences. Oh, well, Harry.
Running around comment. I don't know what to say right now, but I'm so glad you told me. Like, say more of that, right?
Yeah. And just say, what you might thinking of. Yeah, like, I've got no idea what to say to that, but I'm here and I'm glad you told me, and I love you, and I'll support you in any way and capacity that I can.
Exactly. Because you're not going to be able to solve the person's issue or problem or the person they've lost. You can't bring the person back. But what you can do is form connection on it.
Yeah.
It makes the person feel less lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that change of mindset and framing of the conversation and the role that everyone can play is, that's what needs to happen, in my opinion. Because I think sometimes people go into conversations thinking, well, I just don't know what to say to that person when they've lost someone. You don't really need to say much. You show that you're caring, that you're there, and you want to know more how they're feeling.
Yeah.
You don't need to talk that much, to be honest.
Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
Well, Harry, thank you so much for being here with me today. It's been so insightful, and so I've learned a lot more. Again, even I thought I was kind of up to speed and stuff. It's just so fascinating. Not so fascinating, but just intriguing and educating. And thank you for sharing your dad, William, with us. And it's been a delight to have you.
No, thank you very, very much indeed. It was a pleasure. I could have spoken for much longer. I don't know where the time's gone.
So. I know. We just get going. Grief Gang, thank you for listening. You are now going to hear a little snippet from the founders, Emma and Amelia from Suicide & Co.
Hi, it's Emma and Amelia from Suicide & Co. We're here because we believe, like Amber and Harry, that language is so important around grief and suicide. That is exactly why we included the word suicide in our name when we set up our charity 2 years ago. We've both been impacted by suicide, and that is exactly why we're on this journey. We believe that anyone impacted by suicide deserves support, and that support looks different for everyone.
The support here at Suicide & Co is our national counselling service, offering anybody over the age of 18 across England and Wales access to 12 free counselling sessions, as well as our helpline, which is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., again, giving you access to a bereavement counsellor as a listening service. And alongside that, we also offer digital resources on our website, guides around language, resources that are signposted to, and shared lived experience.
And if you want to join us, follow us at Suicide & Co on Instagram, or find us at www.suicideandco.org for more information about how you can donate, fundraise for us, and access all the services that we've just highlighted above.
Oh, a huge thank you to Emma and Amelia for that wee little snippet. Love those girls and what they do. Just totally adore them. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode, this first episode of season 4. Beyond excited for this next season and what's to come. I always find it so funny when I say I'm beyond excited. I say this all the time. Maybe I should just stop using the word excited in the context of a grief podcast. But you can find Harry and engage with all of his work by visiting his website at www.harrycorin.com. So that's Harry, last name Corin, C-O-R-I-N. Or on his Instagram by searching harry.corin. Big love, Amber.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.